Exhaustion weighs heavily on Gwen as she pulls into a retro diner in Andover, North Carolina. The journey from Savannah to Chicago wasn't supposed to include this stop, but then again, life rarely follows our carefully constructed plans. The checkered floors and vinyl booths offer momentary comfort as she contemplates her next move, unemployed, heartbroken, and adrift. A newspaper catches her eye. William Marshall Academy needs a teacher. Something about this coincidence feels meaningful, almost like destiny calling. Despite her Chicago plans, curiosity pulls her toward the imposing Gothic school. Before she can reconsider this impulsive detour, fate intervenes dramatically when a deer darts across the road. The collision is sudden and violent. In that moment of impact, everything changes. The carefully planned Chicago future dissolves as the William Marshall Academy begins to exert its mysterious pull. Edwin York defies expectations. As headmaster of William Marshall Academy, he carries himself with aristocratic aloofness that both irritates and intrigues Gwen. Their first interactions crackle with unspoken tension, his cool demeanor barely masking genuine interest. His British accent and formal mannerisms seem almost anachronistic, as though he belongs to another time entirely. The academy mirrors its master, Gothic, moody, filled with secrets. Stone corridors echo with whispers. Stained glass casts colored shadows across polished wooden floors. Everything feels suspended in time, preserved like an insect in amber. Despite York's initial standoffishness, students regard him with respect bordering on reverence. When he extends protection and a teaching position, Gwen accepts, despite misgivings about his cryptic warning, "Don't get too comfortable." Their conversations carry electric undercurrents, each word carefully chosen, each glance meaningful. "The academy has its own rhythm," he tells her, "its own heartbeat. You'll either fall in step or find yourself perpetually out of sync." Gwen's campus cottage feels like a gift from another era, elegant and spacious with a clawfoot bathtub. As she unpacks, an uncanny sense of familiarity washes over her, reminiscent of her grandparents' home and childhood security. The space seems almost too perfect, as if waiting for her. Inside, she finds her predecessor, Miss Muir's Bible, its inscription hinting at devotion and darker warnings about sin and vigilance. William Marshall Academy exists in its own bubble, free from modern technology. For Gwen, who has always found solace in literature and traditional teaching, this anachronistic approach feels natural. The library becomes her sanctuary, where the eccentric Mr. Reynolds thoughtfully provides her with great expectations for her class. The all-male staff's kindnesses make her feel increasingly welcome. "We believe in education that engages the mind, not just fingers on a keyboard," Mr. Price explains, describing how Headmaster York, though an unusual fit initially, has become the school's heart. Students follow him with knight-like loyalty. Without modern distractions, days flow in a timeless rhythm of bells, communal meals, and scholarly discussions. This pace allows Gwen to reconnect with herself, away from life's usual noise. Sleep eludes Gwen as she tosses in bed. Through her window, moonlight reveals an extraordinary sight: a woman in white walking atop the school wall with impossible grace before vanishing. The sight chills her to the bone. Come morning, she heads to Headmaster York's office, its dark wood and leather-bound books reminiscent of another century. When she describes the bride, as students call the figure, York's casual dismissal both reassures and frustrates her. "Not everything that appears threatening actually is," he says cryptically. "Some mysteries are better left unexplored." Their conversation reveals layers beyond their professional relationship. His intense gaze searches her, as if reading her soul, making her wonder what he sees that she cannot. Throughout the day, her thoughts drift between York and the mysterious bride. The school's ancient corridors seem to whisper secrets, while each interaction with York builds tension, professional respect mixed with something deeper. We all have our ghosts, a teacher remarks at lunch. Some are just more visible than others. The comet haunts Gwen as she explores the campus, questions multiplying. What happened to Miss Muir? Why does everyone avoid discussing her departure? And what connection might she have to the spectral bride? The sight of Edwin in Gwen's room startles her, an unexpected yet somehow inevitable intrusion. His casual confidence as he browses her bookshelf draws her in, their confrontation evolving into deeper discussion. "You've made quite an impression on the boys," he admits, his British accent pronounced in the intimate setting. "They respect you. That's rare." His admiration, though formal, conveys unmistakable desire. They debate modern love versus traditional values, his sense of honor against her belief in emotional honesty. "I want you," he says, "but I want to deserve you as well." When they come together, it's with an intensity that transcends their roles. His touch, reverent yet hungry, awakens something dormant in Gwen. Afterward, she realizes something fundamental has shifted. Her resolve to stay strengthens, born from her sense of purpose, in her students, colleagues, and the connections she's built. "I think I could be happy here," she whispers. His smile holds secrets she has yet to discover. When Gwen confronts Edwin about Miss Muir's possible presence, his evasive response, "Some things are better left undisturbed," creates the first crack in their relationship. His reluctance to address her concerns drives Gwen to investigate independently. In Miss Muir's Bible, marginal notes warn of sin and evil within the school. A draft letter from her abandoned office reveals foreboding concerns about supernatural wrath under Edwin's leadership, challenging everything Gwen believed true. Her exploration deepens when she discovers a hidden room containing a mannequin dressed as the mysterious bride she's seen walking the walls. This finding suggests deliberate deception rather than supernatural activity, though its purpose remains unclear. As Gwen considers alerting authorities, she experiences an inexplicable incident where reality seems to distort, walls become permeable, and time feels fluid. Though shaken, this encounter strengthens her resolve to uncover the truth behind the Academy's secrets. Gwen discovers Laird dressed as the bride, revealing the ghost was just a prank. The boys confess their love affair, which Miss Muir had threatened to expose until Headmaster York defended them, declaring the school a sanctuary for all forms of love. This revelation deepens Gwen's love for Edwin, casting Miss Muir's disappearance as a voluntary departure. The full truth comes through an elderly visitor's tale. A devastating fire 50 years ago claimed everyone at the school, including Edwin and the boys, after she reported their relationship. Gwen realizes she's been living among ghosts, explaining the school's timeless nature. Faced with this knowledge, Gwen chooses to stay with Edwin and the boys, turning away from the living world waiting in a hospital room. "Sometimes home isn't a place," she realizes. "Sometimes it's the people who see you, who love you as you truly are." With a final kiss, she chooses the eternal embrace of a love that transcends death.